Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Lord, we thank you that we are part of the kingdom of God, not part of the kingdom of fear. For fear has torment, and faith sets free. Faith is the activation of the word of life. And we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We live in victory. Now thanks be to God, who causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. Always. Thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for your blessing upon these people, all of them, first, second, and even tonight's service, that they blessed in the month of March, blessed for the rest of the year. They'll be fruitful. They'll multiply. They will advance. They will excel. They will have favor. They'll have protection. They'll give you angels charge concerning them. They'll have the mind of Christ from within. The world cannot take these things away from us. For when God has blessed, who can curse? We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may take your seats. Thank you. I'm going to go to Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 1. I happened to walk at a moment past the television, and I just saw, Maud also saw it, and it had these words on the television. It says, concerning this country, it says, the culture of fear exists. Just like that. And when I saw those words, I realized how many people are living just right there. And whenever I see these things, it's like I get emotions about it. And in this case, like a kind of an anger, because if Christians do not perceive correctly, they become part of that. But for us who are in Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious in the Beloved. We're not hopeless, we're with hope. And that hope is the anchor of our souls. We're not defeatists or defeated, we are more than conquerors. We have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. We have executive power, and we have the sword of the Spirit. We've got the armor of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. They can strip everything off us, but they can never take Christ out of us. Can you say amen? Amen. We have the mind of Christ. We have the wisdom of God, understanding, discernment, discretion. We have insight. We have foresight. The Holy Spirit shows us the things to come. And as we walk with God, song of my life, I'll walk with God. As we walk with God and we walk in the light, God will take care of us. Some people are saying the culture of fear exists because there is this whole thing now with the election coming up. And personally, because, and I'm saying this not to anybody except to myself, I personally cannot vote because I have to love everybody equal. And I can't be partisan to anything or anyone except the kingdom of God and the culture of the kingdom of God. But I would encourage everybody to vote. Obviously, that would be something that is very necessary for all to do. But with the election, somebody said, you know, this election coming up now is perhaps the most important one since the first election that took place in the reborn South Africa. And I'm saying, well, there is a thing that we need to pray. And we started praying here Saturday mornings very seriously. I would invite everybody to join in. It looks like a church service. To come in on Saturday morning, 7:30 to 8:30, and we hit the road because we pray every single Saturday and we don't play games. Thursday I'll be teaching about prayer. Saturday we'll be practicing prayer. I've taught many people how to pray and get results through many years. Many years I've done that. And The one thing that comes to mind for me is with the elections coming up, that those people of whatsoever political party, wherever they are, in whatever party, doesn't matter what party, that those who are the elements of corruption in the nation and causes the nation's economy to go down, to weaken the country, that in the coming election they'll be voted out, whoever it is. And God would replace them with God-fearing people. In the kingdom of God, as I've said on a few occasions, racism does not even exist. To me, it doesn't exist. It's irrelevant. In my life, it does not exist. All people are equal. All people are loved equal. All people have dignity. All people have respect on absolute equal level. I love all the people of the country. But the one thing we do think, and we're persuaded of, God is able, no government is there except it is of God. God is able to place the right people there if we pray about it. The future of a nation is on the lips of a praying church. And there will be a through the night prayer at the time of the election too, that we'll pray right through the night, starting on the night before, right into the election time, we'll be praying. And we're praying that, you know, anybody, the word corruption is the Hebrew word, as I've said before, it's the Hebrew word Belial, which is one of the names of the devil. It's Satan. So corruption is satanic. And we need to get God to remove whoever from what political party, what state-owned entity, what business entity, whatever organization that's corrupt, that God would uproot the work of Satan from everything. And starting with our parliament, and pray the blessing of God upon the parliament, and pray for the state president and those people that govern the country. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Come on. Amen. So the culture of fear exists. But I say the culture of victorious faith also exists. This is the victory, says the word of God, that has overcome this word, this world, even our faith. Now, again, thanks be to God who causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We have authority to tread on serpents. I said again, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. You are transformed into a dangerous creature of God the moment you begin to pray. You become dangerous. You need to find out everything you can about prayer. There are 11 styles or types of prayer in the Bible. 11 of them. We need to find out about it. Pray laser-focused prayers and pray for our nation. The Lord's been dealing with me about that. I've had some experiences, I must say, in the last week or two. Some very, very profound experiences. And it was just wow. But if we say the culture of fear exists, then I say, and that's the theme, faith, the culture of faith of the kingdom of God versus the culture of fear. We have not received a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. We have not received a spirit of fear. And it's time for us all to learn not to run to the world for a solution. Let's get into this. I'm just putting these things, I read them down, and then it's on the tape or the recording or when you listen to the podcast or on YouTube, any of the channels of the church. The fundamentals we always need to have in the back of our minds is, number one, we must learn under all circumstances to trust in the Lord. Number two, read, understand the Word of God and focus on the Word in times of trouble. Number three, walk in the light and do the Word that you know. Walking in the light, your Word is a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. Walking in the light begins ultimately with walking in the Word, according to the Word. Because the Word is a lamp to your foot and a light to your path. Number four, shun the very appearance of evil in whatever form it comes. Number five, deal with hatred. This thing called hatred, even in our nation, it's a defilement thing. And the Bible says, he who hates walks in darkness. He who hates is a murderer, it says. Six, pray with all manner of prayer. We'll get to that on Thursday night. Seven, maintain the fear of the Lord. It is to depart from evil, and it's the beginning of the wisdom of God in your life. And number eight, honor the Sabbath day of the Lord. Be sure that the Sabbath day is always a prime situation in your life. No matter where you go, even if you're traveling, seek out a church wherever you are. Go to church. Make sure you're faithful to God. Having said all of that, we now get to Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel 7. Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head while on his bed. And he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head. Dream visions. There is a whole story about this dream visions that we can get into, but I've had some very profound ones and lately again. And he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So Daniel spoke, saying, Daniel 7 verse 2, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Out of the sea came these beasts. Now, again, we go on to Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. This year, a beast coming out of the sea. This book of Daniel, chapter number 13, begins here. It's a turning point in the book of Revelation, where the beast comes up out of the sea. And then, of course, we find the Antichrist is next here in the order. We call him the beast, and we read about the system of the beast in Daniel 13, and finally the destruction of the beast in Revelation 13. And in Revelation 16, we find the Armageddon, and we find the Antichrist in Daniel chapter number 7, Daniel chapter number 8, Daniel chapter number 9, Daniel chapter number 10, and chapter number 11. And we have quite a description there. And in 2 Thessalonians, particularly chapter number 2, we have a description of the Antichrist. And there are more references, just a few that I just quickly gave you there. But saw beasts come out of the sea. Now, let me say this to you. The sea, in prophetic interpretation, if you, there are books on prophetic visions and dreams and interpretation and what these symbols stand for, but the sea is always a type of the peoples of the world. Out of the sea comes the beast. Out of the sea, there's turmoil. And out of the sea, we find, finally, the Antichrist comes out of this world system, the system of the beast. The God of this age who has blinded the eyes of the people, lest the glory of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ would shine upon them. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 4. Out of the sea is stormy, and the sea represents the people of all the earth. Now, if we just dissect a little and we just put South Africa and we look at the sea or the part of the sea that we represent, then I would say South Africa's got some rough and some stormy seas over the last period of time to look back upon. And even now, The culture of fear exists. It says so. At least on television, it said so. I don't believe in that in any way. I have faith in Christ. Jesus is my Savior day by day. Can you say amen? Amen. I'll walk with God. His helping hand will lead me on. Can you say amen? Amen. I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand will lead me on. There's no sorrow, there is no fear. God, who is the strength of our lives, He is near. I will raise up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? Would I say to myself, my help is in the name of the Lord of hosts. What's more, He never slumbers, nor does He ever sleep. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but forever endure. The unshakables. Hebrews chapter number 12, we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. In other words, an unshakable kingdom. We are citizens of the unshakable kingdom. I actually feel very sorry. That's why I get angry when I see headlines like that. I feel very sorry for people who have not been saved, who have not got a relationship with God. There are many religions, but we've got a relationship. And if we pray, our future, I'm telling you now, your faith is launched through your prayers. Your prayers will determine the outcome of your life. Your prayers are that important. Jesus used to pray a lot. And the Bible says even now, there's a little book that I read once upon a time by Kenneth E. Hagin, where he writes about the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. Does some scriptures on the subject of what is Jesus doing? Well, in one summary, He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. To do what? Jesus is praying for you and I nonstop. We are here, we're in the world, the sea is stormy, but Jesus is right there. Immediately. He is as far as a prayer that is launched from your lips. Your lips and your prayer life could be the very turning point that you want in your life. And the moment people understand the importance of prayer, it is important, it is important, it is important. The moment you understand relationship with God, walking in the light, those things which I just read out there at the beginning, the fear of the Lord, walking with God, walk in the light, be in the walk of faith, then you don't focus on the world. Now, let me say something about the sea. And I just want to get to this part as well. It's an amazing thing that not so long ago, I had a vision in the night, and like Daniel, dream visions, he speaks about a vision, a dream. He had a dream and the visions of his head that disturbed him upon his bed. Now, I have got many of those things happening to me all the time. In fact, when they don't happen, Maud would say to me, when last did you see anything? And I would say this, that, and the other. And I would look at situations like right now in Israel. Right now in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, immediately comes the words, the mixed multitude, false accusations. Immediately. Mixed multitudes that don't want him there because they don't do what they want to manipulate him. The satanic culture is one of fear and manipulation by demonic control of people's lives to have them have and live a life of mishaps. So I'm standing in this vision on the side of the sea. I'm literally like on the side of the platform, my feet here, and it's the sand under my feet, and I'm looking, and in front of me is the sea. And the sea is huge and massive, but in the vision, I could actually see right on the horizon, I could see the opposite end, and it's green, and it's beautiful, and it's inviting. And as I look at that, suddenly I feel myself, as I'm standing upright, I lift up like that, and I begin to move forward. I like float over the sea. And in this vision, Obviously, I'm looking down at the waters. Now, those waters are stormy, but they're crystal clear. But there's another thing about the waters is that on the surface, I can see in and I can see what's going on. But as it gets deeper, it gets black. Once it was on a boat in the middle of the sea, and I looked over the side of the boat. And if you look down where the sea is very deep, I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience, but it's black. It's like black. That sea down there is black. You can't see very deep. The water color is like black. Saw that, went over the Cuban Trench on a boat many years ago. And as we went over the Cuban Trench, that's deep water there. It's black. It's pitch black, the water. But yet, I could see into the water. It was stormy, and I was like going over it, lifted up, and I would finally land on the other side, and it was paradise. It was like, wow, this is the most beautiful place that I cannot describe. The flowers, the greenery, and everything is just luscious, and there's this complete atmosphere of peace. But going over the waters, I looked down, saw the stormy sea, but I could see through the water. And inside the waters, there were multitudes of people, and many of them were naked. And God spared me, because somehow or another, I don't know how he did that, but God didn't do that. He didn't expose everything and things that I shouldn't be seeing, but I could see they were naked. And they were fornicating, practicing every kind of perversity, perversions, adulteries. And this is just terrible. I looked, and profanity. In other words, a profane person is in the Greek described someone who emits a smell like a stench that reaches all the way to heaven. And they were practicing profanity. They were just very bad. They were doing all, and they were cursing, and they were all into, I could see them practicing all kinds of wrong things. And it troubled my soul. But what I noticed as I was going forward over the sea, what I noticed is they were sinking deeper and deeper into that water. And they're getting into the darkness, and then they would disappear down there into complete pitch black, like black, black, dark, velvet darkness down there. They get out of sight. They've gone so deep that they've gone into complete darkness. It's out of the sea that the beast will come forward. The sea is the world of people. The Bible tells us and shows us that. They're beasts. Daniel chapter number 7, 4 wild beasts that come out of the sea. Revelation 13 tells you again. So we know that represents this world, its fornications, its gamblings, its corruption. And there are a lot of people who are without Christ and without hope. You see, you never are without hope. If you're in Christ, you've always got hope. If you're in a storm, one prayer, Jesus could lift you out of the storm. See what's behind me? One word, and he can lift you out. You only have to make a prayer and call upon the name of the Lord for help. And then trust in the Lord. We'll get to that now. So having said that, I want to take you to the third portion of Scripture, which connects now. And I want to go to Matthew 14, and I want to go to verse 22. And here in Matthew 14, 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciple get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Very clear, he gave the instruction, go to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. And by the way, I didn't say that in the first service. If Jesus says to you, go anywhere. If the Lord says to you, go anywhere. Again, if God Almighty speaks to go somewhere. And there is a storm. And there is a storm. He's there with you in the storm. He will come at the right moment. And he'll sort out the problems. What I have found more and more with me, surely, definitely. What I have found is that everything happens at exactly the same, the precise right time. The things just, like it says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It's like the wheels are moving in the right direction all the time. I see this happens before I even got there. That happens before I got there. That happens before I got there. It's like Frank Lobach that wrote the book, Open Windows, Swinging Doors, or Open Doors, Swinging Windows. It's like he wrote and he said he was a man of God. He lived to be 103 years old in the Philippines. And Frank Lobach wrote about this. He says, before I even get there, it's already in place. Now, that's where I live. That's what Maud and I are experiencing all the time, every day. It is amazing. It takes commitment and it takes a prayer life, but it's amazing. Life quality is maximum if you decide to walk with God. And in the beginning, it takes a bit of adjustment, takes a bit of letting go of stuff and other stuff and other stuff, and then just focus on Jesus, focus upon the Word, and decide to be a doer of the Word. Just focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus all the time as to pleasing Him no matter what. By the way, tonight I'm going to preach a sermon, and part of the title is No Matter What. It's quite profound, and then I'll be ministering to a lot of sick people and pray for whatever it is that the Holy Spirit leads me. He sent the multitudes away, gave the instruction. Multitudes also got one, and he went. And when he had done so, he sent the multitudes away, verse 23, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. I think that to me is the prime motivation of my prayer life. I always reason this way. If Jesus, Son of God, part of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ the Lord, found it necessary to pray, how much more should I find it necessary to pray also? To me, this is like, okay, Lord, you gave us an example what to do. You did it, so we got to do it also. The Bible says, now when the evening came, he was alone there. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind's against them. It's stormy. They're being tossed around. They're scared. They stretch to the end of their strength and energy. They're struggling to stay alive. The wind is against them. It seems like they're going nowhere. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, the Hebrew watches were 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. So 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. So if you have, it must be just during 3 and 4 in the morning. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Now remember what I said the sea is. Jesus is not in the midst of the world system. He is above the world system. He is above the storms. The storms do not affect him. He is not afraid of the storms. The whole satanic movement is based upon fear. The kingdom of God is based upon faith in the promises of God. When we trust in the Lord, we will get where we need to be. We need to give it over to God so that God can take the steering wheel. When his disciples saw him, verse 26, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. The Bible says that they were troubled and they said, "It's a ghost, phantasma." It is like a phantom or phantasma in the Greek. It's what the Greek word is there. It's like a fantasy. It's like phantasma. It's a phantom, a ghost. They couldn't believe it. Jesus walking on the sea. It's a storm. And he's walking on the water like it was nothing. Here he comes walking along. And they're troubled. This to me is in that whole thing that they troubled. That also troubled me. Why were they troubled when they see Jesus? Sometimes the solution is obvious, but it troubles you to go that way. Sometimes the solution is like obvious to your mind, to your understanding, according to the word of God. Solution is obvious. But it's a troubling thing to obey God. It's a troubling thing to walk with God. It's a troubling thing to pray. It's a troubling thing to obey. It's a troubling thing to walk according to the word of God, walk in the light, walk in holiness, walk in purity, walk in faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. What is faith? Walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We walk by the word, in other words. And if we walk by the word, it's a lamp to our foot and a light to our path. We're walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, you just walk according to the word of God. The Holy Spirit and the word is in agreement. And so the Spirit and the word agrees. I have the Holy Spirit. I've got the word. I'm walking according to the word of God. My eyes are fixed upon the word. And that word is Christ. So they troubled. Because it would be easier to say, well, you know what? I think I must go to somebody there. Maybe the bank manager has got some loan. Maybe he's got a solution for me. Oh, he's not giving it to me. Maybe try another bank. Go to another bank. Maybe get something there. Oh, wait a minute. There are people that have got these fast loan services. Maybe I should go for a fast loan service and go and see. Maybe I could, you know. And so eventually they get themselves in so much trouble that they cannot get out of that trouble no matter what they do. They need God. Let me tell you, money can smash a marriage. Now, I didn't get one amen on that one. But money can cause arguments that can smash a marriage. In my marriage, it works like this. I used to do the budget to the point where I made a decision when Maud prayed for me and I sat there struggling with a budget many years ago. And I made a decision to tithe. I said to her, we tithe. And what's more, from this day, you take the budget. Now, they're not two budgets, hers and mine's, him's and hers. Like go to the bathroom and you have a him towel and they have a her towel. We have one account. And all that's mine, I'm in a covenant, I'm in a marriage covenant, is hers. All that's hers is mine. How simple is that? How easy is that? The word is covenant. Diatheke. Berith in Hebrew. Have a covenant. I said to her, take the money. You become the minister of finance in the family now. Go ahead. Call the shots. We'll do. She's been handling it all these years. Right now, I stand before God. God knows I'm telling you the truth. I don't know how much money I've got in my purse. I have no idea, never even check. She puts money in, sometimes she fetches out there again. And then she brings a pacifier, she says, put some money in your purse again. And I said, no, okay, what? What's in your purse? How much money have you got left out? No, I don't know. Give that purse here, let me see. Okay, you need more money. There's money. I'm happy. I'm the happiest man on earth. Money does not worry me. What do I need in this world? I just need Jesus. I just want Jesus. I don't sit with a little bookie and keep book of every cent that she spends versus how much I spend. And her account versus my account. How stupid does that get? I've seen marriages go on the rock because of just that factor. Raitians netsua. Now it's very hard for a man. Very hard for a man. To say, woman, thou mayest take my purse. Some people have got very deep pockets, but they got short fingers. You And if I didn't have to carry a purse, the only reason I carry a purse is because I've got a driver's license in it. Otherwise, I couldn't be bothered about it. They cried out for fear. The world is troubled by fear. People fear for all sorts of things. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer and do not be afraid. Don't fear. You find that in one form or another 365 times in the Bible. That's like for every day of the year, God says, don't fear. It is I. Now, Peter, he was quite a character, answered him and said, Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he got afraid. Hy vang skrik, so in Afrikaans sê. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. You lose your focus, you sink. You lose your focus, you sink. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do you doubt the word of God? Why do you doubt when I say one word, come, it can carry you from here to Mars if necessary. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And I think everybody ceased talking also. They just sat there with big eyes. You see, the Jesus that they thought was a phantasma was the actual reality. He was the real truth to their situation. And an illustration of how he can take you out of that storm, you find right there. He pulls the leader of the church, Peter the apostle, to whom he said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He pulls him out of the waters. Now, there's one more verse I need to give you very quickly, and my time is chasing me very strongly at the same time. It's this word, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust. I read from the Hebrew dictionary. Trust is confidence or faith in God's promises. It's a Hebrew word, betach. Confidence or faith in God's promises. Like that. So I need to learn to trust God. He's in control. I need to learn to walk with God. I need to learn to obey God. I need to learn to walk in the light. I need to know that my faith depends on my word level. That's why we have Bible schools. Faith depends on my word level. My future is governed by my prayer words. My prayer could be the one more prayer. Just one more prayer could be the very one that brings about the turnaround of a situation. Pray and keep on praying. People stop one prayer short of the answer. But I'm saying to you today, I've said this long time before, just one more prayer could change your whole life. Would you bow your hands, everybody? I don't want nobody. Give the Lord a praise offering. That's right. Somebody wants to praise God, you're always welcome to praise God in this place. I want you all in this place just to bow your heads and just listen to me now before we go anywhere. You know, I honestly, I don't know what to say to anybody who has not made a purposeful commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to give you the opportunity of doing so. I'm going to pray for you if you raise your hand, and I'll tell you when. You might have come into this place, you don't even know. You're so troubled that you're troubled about being troubled. Your troubles are overwhelming your soul. You are in winds contrary to your life. You're being tossed to and fro. But you've never made a solid commitment to Jesus. Now, there's some people here that in your life, you have lived and everything was good, everything was kosher, but then you drifted away from God. Then came trouble. It's always like that. The wheels grind slowly but surely. Then came trouble. And then you said, Lord, I need to get back to you. And so maybe you find yourself in that position today that you know that you need to be to do a quality commitment to Jesus Christ. Just a quality commitment to Jesus. That you know that your name is written in the Lamb of God's book of life. You have eternal life. Christ in you, there is always hope. Immediately Jesus said, come. Immediately Jesus reached out, took his hand, and raised him up out of the water. And he walked on the storm. Jesus can do that with your life. All you have to do, if you want me to pray for you quickly, just raise me a hand. Let me see you where you are. Right, God bless you. Raise those hands quickly. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see more hands going up. God bless you over there. I see God bless you. I see the hands going up. God bless you. Thank you very much. Over there, God bless you. That's right. And God, over here, God bless you. Some people don't raise a hand very high. It doesn't matter. At least if I see you, it's important. Right there at the back, I've just seen another hand move. God bless you. You know, why would I? There's a lady over there. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you over there. You know, it's like, how would I wouldn't even want to live. I'd be too scared to leave this building without Jesus, me personally. I want to know that Jesus goes with me everywhere. I want to know that he's with me when there's a storm, he's with me. You want that assurance? Jesus now, more than ever, one more call. Now listen to me now. Don't let the devil tell you keep your hand down. Because the devil will say, no, don't do that. Don't. Ignore the devil flat because he wants to take your soul to hell. Obey God and say yes to Jesus Christ right now. And be saved and get some help in the storms of your life. Raise your hand for the last time if you want me to pray for you right now. I see those hands. God bless you. All over, I see hands going up right now. Good. God bless you at the back. Right now, you say, that's me. Would you all stand and raise your hands? Would you just stand for me for a moment? Stand for me, that the yellow can see where you are. You're all over the place. You're all over, right at the back, everywhere. There are people standing over there, people standing. That's right. Just get up, stand up, and I will. If I see you, I'll pray for you. Where are you? Okay. Can I ask you to come? Let me pray for you here. Just walk to me quickly. Come, walk to me. Just come quickly. Walk out to me. Come on, give the Lord a good praise offering, everybody. Amen. That's right. You don't need to be tossed to and fro. As for all the Christians, I need counselors, ushers. I need people that can help me, senior Christians. I need cell leaders. I need youth leaders. I need people. Just put a warm hand on these people's shoulders. Listen to me, people in the front, you at the back, all of you. We can all say this confession a million times. We only get strengthened in our hearts. So, dear friends, will you raise your hands towards them? The men see you for, raise your hands up towards God. Everybody in the front, say these words all together before we close the service. According to the word of God, I now confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and his lordship over my life. And I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come in my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Wash me in the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I am cleansed. I repent of sin. And I thank you now that my name is now written in the book of life of the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Amen. Life changes. See this book here? It's called the Bible. Get one fast. If you have got one, start reading it immediately. Come to church, pray. Your future is right here on your lips. Start praying. And your life will change. You'll see it happen. As you obey, the blessing gets bigger. It just multiplies upon your life. I want that pastor to meet you and say hello to you before you go home. Take 5 minutes. I love yelling, and bless. They want to bless you and just quickly say a prayer for you. Would you just go after that pastor? Turn to your heart side and just follow them through. Just go that way, and there's a pastor right at the end, and he will help you and get you to the place where you need to be. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. Love you guys, eh? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The year of multiplication, the year of fruitfulness. So the angels rejoice. Do you rejoice? You want to give a rejoice offering as you stand up? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Hey, listen, people. Don't fear. Jesus is near. Listen, people, you have power through your prayer life. Listen to me, people, you have the full armor of God available. Listen to me, people, don't be led by the news, be led by the Word of God. Led by faith. Walk with God. Things will work out. They work out. At the end of the day, you're better off than at the beginning. And nobody can stop that. Nobody can stop you from being blessed. Nobody can stop you. That's how it works. Can you say amen? Amen. I hope you still love one another in this place. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you, be gracious to you, grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.